Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Lagerman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Welcome in, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli on a cell phone. Actually in studio, though. It's a miracle. And
he's whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, he made it up to the show on time. Let's give him a little credit.
Thank you very much.
Finally. Yes, by default.
The show that I'm scheduled for.
Glad you made it. I'm glad. We're glad you're here.
Now, if you want to call it the Tony Baselli Show at 6 o'clock every Thursday, then I'll be here. I don't think it's called that.
Next 4 weeks, we'll do that.
Doug
is way more entertaining than you are.
That might be the case.
We don't need you to replace Doug.
That might be the case. Well, he's the head coach, and it is a coaching show, so he probably should stay on it.
No,
we will not be doing this the next 4 weeks.
I know.
We will be talking football next 4 weeks.
Wow.
Calling the game.
Calling games. Well, by the way, the NFL preseason schedule kicks off tonight.
Yes, it does. The Hall of Fame game.
And I ask you this. Will either of you watch a game in which the coaches have said that our starters aren't playing?
No. I'm going to the Foreigner concert.
Are you? Right.
Daly's place for you tonight.
Tonight.
I got high school.
And even if I was at home, I probably wouldn't watch.
I got high school football practice after this.
Okay.
I'd probably flip it on just to say.
I might turn it on.
See what it looks like. Okay, great.
I might turn it on.
Yeah.
You know?
Blaine Gabbert's going to be playing, right?
Cardinals. Yeah, that's right. He's with the Cardinals. Yeah. I might turn it on to watch Blaine, see how he's doing.
Yeah.
He should get a lot of snaps tonight.
You'd think so.
Cowboys, who was their first-round pick again? Oh, it was the guy from Michigan, the defensive end?
Yeah, Taco Charlton.
Which he should not have been a first-round pick. It was a bad pick by the Dallas Cowboys.
Didn't I pick him in our mock draft? I think it was one of those. I had him too high, and you guys gave me grief.
That goes to show that the Cowboys, you know, messed up. Because when J.P. Shadrick is picking Taco – what's Taco Charlton?
I've got T.J. Watt right, Charlton. Too.
If you're picking him in the first round, the Cowboys are picking him, the Cowboys obviously doesn't know as much as you, which is not good. Just saying. It's not a good pick for the Cowboys.
Cowboys have had some off-the-field issues in the past. I get that. But on the field
last year. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like an understatement right there. They're leading the league.
A good citizen.
And, hey, you know, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Stephen Jones – talked today and mentioned that he kind of expects a decision on Ezekiel Elliott within the next 2 weeks. You know, because you have Jerry Jones going into the Hall of Fame this weekend.
Yeah.
So nothing's going to happen
between now and this weekend.
But next week, you know, Stephen Jones is kind of expecting a decision on Ezekiel Elliott. And I think, you know, there's going to be some type of suspension coming down for him. And Jerry Jones has been very adamant that there's nothing there, you know, on his running back.
Well, did you see what Jason Garrett said? He basically, I can't remember if I read on Pro Football Talk or whatever, some tweet, that he sat down with Ezekiel Elliott and said he's basically throwing away money. He could be a huge spokesman for different products, you know, one of the faces of the NFL, but because of his off-the-field, or the clouds that follow his off-the-field behavior, no, I guess there's nothing been definitive yet. People are going to stay away from him. I mean, so obviously, the Cowboys are aware of something, and they can say, you know, nothing's going to happen no matter what. They don't make the decision, and I would, with all the talk, I'd be shocked if there's not some sort of suspension.
Something's going to happen.
Phone lines are open.
Oh,
phone
no.
calls are going to happen. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll get to your calls throughout the hour. A little defensive talk. We'll go around the league as well. A lot of injuries around the league. And let's start, though. You know, we talk about on offense all the time, Blake Bortles this and the run game that. We haven't had a lot of talk about the Jaguars receivers lately. A-Rob's having a good camp, a really good camp. Allen Hurns is around. I mean, Marquise Lee's stepping up. D.D. Westbrook has flashed at times in this camp.
He took the top off of the defense today on a deep ball. Beautiful play. He can run now. I mean, he can run.
He can fly.
You know, the other one that really has kind of stood out, and he wears number 84, Keelan Cole. He's an undrafted young man from Kentucky Wesleyan. And he made a catch today to where he first of all, the real good receivers had the ability to adjust their bodies and get in position to make the catch. He had a play that was in the end zone today where he adjusted his body and made a catch, and it was beautiful. You know, and how many times in training camp all of a sudden you keep going, man, who was that? 84.
Right, 84.
You know, who's 84, that guy?
84.
You know, and when it keeps happening again and again and again, I mean, that's what makes people notice and helps guys make football teams when they're undrafted. You know, the question with him is, and Tony brought this up a little bit ago, is can he play special teams?
Mm.
Because, explain it.
Well, he's going to be the – well, your top receivers are A-Rob, Marquise, Aherns, D.D. Westbrook's making this team.
Yeah, he's draft pick. He's going to make
it. So he's looking at being the fifth wide receiver if he makes this team. Maybe six if you keep six. Well, the sixth guy is going to be inactive, but the fifth and sixth guy have to be able to play special teams.
Which gives, you know, a guy like
Ben,
Aurelius Ben a leg up because, you know, he's 220 pounds.
And he's a good special
teamer. Good on special teams.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think if you're the Jags, you almost want a situation where he does not play too well in the games.
Yeah, so you
and
can
you put
stash
him on the practice squad and hide him and kind of keep him there in case of an injury during the season because you like what you see. But now maybe, and he might be good at special teams. I mean, who knows? I mean, I haven't been.
But that's what we got to find.
I haven't been watching special teams.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but special teams, when you watch it in practice, it's very hard to get an evaluation and practice of special teams because
outside the kicker missing kicks or making kicks,
that's about
tell.
It. Yeah. That's about it. So I mean, you really got to evaluate special teams when you get into the game setting when things are live because you know you're not doing live special teams in practice. But I mean, 84 stood out. Keelan Cole. Now I mean, he stood out and been fun to watch, and it's pretty easy to see. You know, the speed of D.D. Westbrook. I mean, that stands out, and also he has great return ability. You know, a guy like Rashad Greene.
Yeah, what do you think his future is, Jeff?
I don't think it's here.
The long silence there.
I don't see him making it. I don't. You know, because you just drafted a guy that can handle punt returns and kick returns that's faster than Rashad Greene.
That's right.
And Rashad Greene did not do anything last year. So, you know, kind of out of sight, out of mind. You know, now you've got a draft pick, which the organization, the new structure of the organization, signed off on the new guy. You know, so it's going to be an uphill battle for Rashad Greene, unless all of a sudden he starts to wow. You know, has some big returns, has some big plays as a wide receiver, but that's a tough hill to climb for him.
Yeah, unless he starts returning those punts like he did his rookie year, which that was the shocking thing to me last year. Was how ineffective he was returning punts. I mean, his rookie year, he put his foot in the ground, he'd get north and south, find that seam, and he'd go. And, boy, it was a lot of sideline to sideline horizontal movement and not going anywhere.
Mm-mm.
And so then that and the injuries, I think Jeff's right. You look at this wide receiver core and they bring in Westbrook, who's, supposedly a great punt returner. We'll find out. And then you know who the top three guys are. And you know you're not getting rid of Westbrook, and it starts getting pretty crowded pretty quick. And some of these other young guys are starting to flash a little bit. And Aurelius Ben, he's a guy you got to watch because he's so good on special teams. And if he has another good training camp on special teams, he's going to be your fifth receiver.
Is this one of those, the fifth and sixth receiver spots here, something that goes down to the last game in Atlanta?
Oh, absolutely, because it's so much special teams.
Yeah.
Unless one guy,
the starters aren't going to play that game, especially with 90 guys on the roster all the way to the end.
Well, I mean, it does come down to the last preseason game, but it also comes down to who's going to be available to make decisions on. I mean, because you know you're going to have injuries.
True.
You know, whether it be soft tissue or whatever. So, I mean, a lot of those decisions are going to be made for you. So, got to see how it kind of plays out. But I mean, assuming everybody is healthy and good to go, I mean, it is going to come down to the last preseason game. And you know what? You could say that now about every position group because of the way the roster cutdowns go. I mean, you're going from 90 to 53 after the last preseason game.
Yeah.
So what decision's not going to come down to that last preseason game now?
Do you like that, Jeff?
I mean, I feel bad for some guys that are going to be clearly, you know, bodies, you know, to fill in the last preseason game. And, you know, you saw in years past, you would have all your, you know, the starters wouldn't play in preseason game 4, And now that's going to get expanded to where it's starters and backups, key backups. You know, so you might not have in the preseason game number four, you might not have anybody from your 53-man roster that's going to be playing in that fourth preseason.
No, not 53. Well, I mean, come on.
I'm just saying.
Math. Right? I mean, simple math says there are going to be some of them out there.
Everybody's going to play 60 minutes all game.
But hey. I'm indifferent as far as an operations standpoint, whether they have 90 or 75 the last game. It's easier for the coaches to manage, easier for the GM. As a broadcaster, I think it stinks.
Well,
I'll just be frank.
Well, I will tell you the one.
I
part
mean, my goodness, there's nothing like. To know anyways. Now we're going to get guys that are, instead of backups or third string playing, like the fifth string guy going. I mean, it's like, that's where Jeff is, right? I mean, you're going to get at least half the game with a bunch of guys that you know.
It's going to be more than that.
But here's
the thing that I think that makes it tough, because you know what? What happens when you get to the 75 cut, teams sometimes will see that somebody gets cut from somewhere, and then that player, he gets picked up by somebody else. Even though it's a short window, it's only typically like, a week, 10 days between the cut from 75 to 53. But, I mean, that still gives somebody an opportunity to have somebody else, another team, lay eyes on them. And now that's gone.
Well, you know what else it's going to do is if you are in the back half of that 53-man roster, and even though you think you make it, don't sleep well, because all of a sudden there are going to be, you know, 37 guys per team let go all at the same time. And you're going to have teams scrambling through the waiver wires to pick people up.
To busy.
What was it? It was the first year with Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell, and it was how many – was there 11?
I thought it was 9 or 10, but maybe it was
like
11.
It was unbelievable.
Of guys that weren't even in camp with us.
Yeah, that got picked up there after everybody cut down to 53, and you know, Dave and Gus were bringing in these guys from elsewhere, you know, for the bottom end of that roster. Now, I don't think we're going to see that.
But
I
mean, 37 guys?
Hey, you know who might do that? The New York Jets. I mean, they might pick up 10, 11 guys, you know, after the 53 cuts.
Sure.
And then be tweaking their roster that whole weekend leading into week one.
That makes week one easy to game plan.
Oh, buddy. That's not easy.
No.
So that'll be the interesting part, really, though. Absolutely. To me, watching the waiver wire with all those names out there at the same time and seeing how teams react as far as filling.
You want to talk about overload. I mean, to go from 90 to 53 in over the weekend. I mean, you know, you kind of got that gradual kind of thing going, but to go all the way down, I mean, I'm not no mathematician, but how many is that?
37.
Yeah, that's 37 guys.
Tony is a mathematician, yeah. Apparently.
Well, I went to USC, not Virginia. You know who I feel sorry for, too? Jimmy Luck and the crew. It's a lot of work.
Oh, the equipment guys.
Equipment guys.
4 games of traveling with 90. You know, but
that's a long weekend,
you know,
getting rid of 37 guys.
You know what that is? It's just added insurance, you know, because you have the ability to protect the parts of your roster in that last week to protect them and to ensure that when you go into week one of the regular season that you've got available who you want available.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Coming up at Daly's Place tonight, Foreigner with Cheap Trick and Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. The show... Hey, I think they've started. If you're watching on Jaguars.com, Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience.
What's your favorite Foreigner song?
Jukebox Hero.
Great tune.
What's yours, Tony?
That was the only one I could think of, so it would have been Jukebox Hero.
I was going to say, if you're going to ask me, I was going to say, can you give me a list?
Just pick them. You know more than you think.
Oh, I'm sure I do.
It's
but
one
that's
of those.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Cheap Trick has a couple of hits.
What is Cheap Trick?
To get my smartphone
Surrender
out.
Is probably their biggest song. Yeah, no, I Want You to Want Me.
Yeah, no.
You've heard it.
I'm sure I've heard it, but I can't think of it.
So that's going on right now.
I just remember the white suit that the lead guy of Cheap Trick used to wear and all the album covers. Mm. Of course, they don't have album covers now. But
no. Well, they do have album covers. They just don't have albums anymore. No. That's the issue. They're all digital now. Also coming up at Daly's Place, Kids Bop, Saturday, August 5th. Future, Wednesday, August 16th. Tony will be there.
I'll
full
be there.
Schedule and tickets available at Daly's Place.
Come see Future.
.com.
It's going to be epic.
What is it? That's rap?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
Also,
who else is playing with Future? It's just by himself?
It's just Future.
So he just gets up there and starts rapping?
I guess. I don't know. You tell us.
I'll let you know. I'm looking forward
Please.
To it, though.
Tomorrow, a Florida Blue family night practice at Everbank Field. Jaguars.com/family night. There is a $5 parking fee starting at 3 o'clock. The Flex Field will have a media tour tomorrow. So for the first time, we'll have a chance to get in and take some footage of that. You'll see some of that on Jaguars.com. Mark Lamping will speak with the media tomorrow before. There is an officials meeting with the media, which always happens every year. And then the 6 o'clock, the practice begins at Everbank Field. So always a fun night when you finally get in the stadium for the first time. Not a full scrimmage like in the past. It's a relatively normal practice. We'll have some team sessions and all that, guys.
Well, it's a busy few days here. I mean, this will be the fifth padded practice in a row tomorrow with the family night. You get a little day off Saturday and then practice on the road Sunday night. And then it will be in New England for 4 days. So it's a little bit hectic, and then you don't get much rest because you turn around right when you get back from New England after a few days off, and you're fighting the Bucks in a couple days. So it's a big 10 to 12 days, I think, for this team as far as development-wise, especially for the young players.
I'm looking forward to going to New England. You know, I mean, first of all, let me say this. I mean, you always want to see what this team's going to be able to do against them. But, I mean, we're talking Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the Super Bowl champions.
You ask for an autograph?
No.
Oh.
But, I mean, I want to see how they work. I want to see how they go about their business.
Sure.
You Absolutely. Know, because, I mean, that's – look, I mean, they're the best.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's not even close.
Well, Robert Kraft said they're running out of room for banners in the stadium.
All the more reason to see how they operate and see how they do things in training camp. I want to see how they conduct themselves.
Be careful with getting a little bit ahead of yourself.
No, that's what he said.
No, I know he said that. You got to be careful because you wake up a few years from now with no Tom Brady and you'll be begging to get back to that position. So
that's right.
Enjoy it as long as it lasts. They've had a great run, great franchise, and they're first class. So it'll be fun to watch them practice. I'm also looking.
I want to see Tom Brady practice.
Yeah.
He's 40 years old now.
Better see him then because he's probably not going to be playing in that game.
No, he's not playing in the game. No way.
Did you see that they had live goats at practice today? It was his 40th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's the greatest
you
of all
explain.
Time.
You got to explain. Yeah, thank you
for
explaining
like
that.
They had like five goats to represent all five titles.
I wonder if.
Dressed in Brady jerseys.
I wonder if Belichick was okay with that. Or if he had
nobody,
a part
nobody
of it.
Ran that by him.
Well, he might. They might have.
I'm sure
I've heard
it was far away from the practice field.
I've heard Belichick has. Oh, it was. I think
I'm
he
guessing.
Said at practice.
At practice, but not on the. I think it was in the fan area. Was it?
Okay, I
they
got you.
Roaming and mowing the lawn.
I thought
for
this
him.
Was. I thought this was a team brought goats out with Brady Jr.
No.
Oh, I thought maybe the players did it. As a,
oh, they walked out, escorted the goat on the field.
I don't know.
What is wrong with you?
When you win as many Super Bowls as they, you can do whatever you want.
Let's go to the phone lines,
Maybe
please.
Not. I'm, hey.
Get some sense in here. Let's go to Fleming Island to get us started tonight. Bob is on the line. Bob, good evening.
Good evening, guys. Listen, I was watching the draft back in May, and late in the draft, it was around the sixth round, a TV analyst asked Mike Mayock, he said, Mike, at this point in the draft, the sixth round, who do you think will turn out to be the best pick in the draft? And Mike didn't hesitate. He said Fournette. And they quickly asked him why. And he said, last year, this is what blew my mind, last year the Jaguars led the NFL in yards before contact. And that's a stat I'd never heard of before. But and he said running behind a line like that, he should get plenty of opportunity to break long ones. Is it possible the Jaguars led the NFL in yards before contact last year?
If it's
I haven't seen that number.
I haven't seen that, but Mike Mayock is pretty good. He's pretty good with his stuff, his information. He does a lot of homework. So I would take Mike Mayock at his word. I mean, he's pretty good, but I have not seen that.
Well, I don't know what the numbers are, and I don't know if that's accurate or not. But I can tell you one thing: both Tony and I, watching film last year and watching plays, we felt there was a lot of yards left on the table. And if you want to call that yards before contact or whatever you want to call it, you know, if you had a better running back, there was more yards to be had. And I think that Leonard Fournette is going to give you what is there and then some.
He'll give you some yards I think he'll give you
more than there that's there. Like he's, I mean, if you're going to be a good back, you better get more than the offensive line's just giving you.
Yeah, but I would agree that, you know, with Tony, I mean, Mike Mayock, he's the most respected guy when it comes to draft stuff. That, I mean, if he writes it, he's pretty accurate now. First of all, he talks to people, number one. Number two, he makes his own opinions.
Watches a lot of tape.
And I remember when the debate about Jadeveon, however he wants his name pronounced now, but Clowney and then Mack were both coming out in the draft, and he came out and said, I don't know if I wouldn't take Mack first. He made that comment, and people were like blown away that he would say that. And if you look at it now, he had a legitimate argument.
Both are good players.
Both are good players.
Yeah, I think I'd take either one.
I'd take Mack.
On this team,
I'd take Mack.
Well, I'd take Mack, too. But
I'd take Mack.
I wouldn't turn away Jadeveon Clowney.
I'd take Clowney, too, though, by the way.
Sure, yeah. To take him, too. But, I mean, if I had my choice, one or the other, I'd take Mack.
I'll take both. Thank you. Jerome on the west side. Jerome, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Great, man. What's up?
Hey, I got a question. Man, I hate to do this to y'all, too, man.
Well, then don't do
it. Can I talk about the quarterback position?
Sure, you can talk about anything you want. It's your phone call.
My question is that, you know, when we first got Bortles or whatever within the first, like, 2-3 years or whatever since he's been here, you heard things that he practices real bad, or he practices bad but plays better than he practices. Well, can't that be the same for, like, Brandon Allen? Because if I'm not mistaken, he performed pretty good in the preseason last year. And I'm just curious, if he comes out here and let's say he likes New England up, does he have a shot at, like, taking over the position, or is Bortles to lose during the regular season?
Right now, well, Blake Bortles is the best quarterback on this team right now.
Yeah, and Brandon Allen's not even the backup right now. And Doug Marone said that the other day. It's Bortles, Henny, and then Allen's third.
Yeah, and then, look, Brandon Allen, I think in the future he's going to be a really good backup in this league and probably could be a backup for a good period of time. But can he compete? No, not right now. He's not ready to compete with Blake Bortles now.
I couldn't get past the comment that Blake, even though he practices bad, plays good in the games.
I don't know if he's been watching the last.
Well, I mean, that's kind of, that was always his reputation, and Blake talked about that
until last year.
Well, and I will say this, in that the first year that he played, he did not play in games like he practiced, because in practice he wasn't very good, and in the games he actually did some exciting, good things.
Yeah, I mean, as a rookie,
But under this regime, Tom Coughlin and Doug Marone, that not practicing well and then cranking it up for the game, that's not flying around here anymore.
Well, first of all, it's not accurate either, by the way.
You have to practice well to earn your play time. Blake Bortles has practiced better.
Oh, he's the best quarterback. I agree with
Jeff.
He's
the best quarterback.
I mean, he's won the job right now. I mean, let's say it was an open competition, he's the best quarterback out there. You know, it's pretty clear. But I just don't, you know, maybe as a rookie that was the case and whatever. I don't buy that sustainable. I mean, that's not how you get better. It's like, oh, I just kind of come out here and hang out
and practice.
I mean, the Allen Iverson theory does not work for long-term success.
PRI Productions has everything you need to bring your next event to life. If you want people to come together, you want PRI. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Visit Jaguars.com/get in the game and register for your chance to win a spot on the field of the August 24th game against the Panthers. 10 lucky winners will receive 2 pregame field passes and 2 tickets to the game. The contest closes at 11:59 p.m. just a few hours from now.
Ooh.
So
don't miss out. Don't miss out.
Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1. We go to the Windy City of Chicago, Illinois, and say good evening to Kamal. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? You guys do a phenomenal job.
Appreciate it. How's Chicago tonight?
Oh, man, it's great. Being an out-of-town fan, finally getting a call into the show. I didn't know you guys streaming online. It's great.
Yeah, well, it's live video. So.
Video, yeah. Check us out. Good-looking people.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, so, guys, I love that Coach Marone's emphasizing special teams this year. However, you know, Tinker going out is, you know, scares me a little bit. But also, I heard just from camp reports from fans and the Twitter guys that Myers has been struggling early in camp again. I'm wondering if it's time to be concerned about the kicker or if we should even be thinking about bringing in some competition. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call from Chicago.
I think it's a – I think he is struggling a little bit. I mean, just yesterday they were doing the hurry-up field goal, and JP, you were out there. Were we standing right next to each other? We were talking about it.
Maybe
that there was some
we're all running together.
Yeah, it was a lot of misses, and I think he's been inconsistent this training camp.
That wasn't the only day.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think overall he's been inconsistent for the training camp. I was actually surprised that Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, and Doug Marone, the Triumph, did not decide to bring in another kicker to compete with Jason Myers. That one surprised me a little bit.
Well, he's had a kicker every year to compete so far. And the one thing I noticed about him, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, JP, mm-hmm. you remember when he would kick in years past, and maybe it's just the distance that we are from the drills as compared to other years, but you used to be able to hear his kick.
Well, I haven't been close enough to hear anything.
You know, I mean, you because I mean, he has
a thump.
I mean, he's kicked that strong leg. But you know, look, I think that if it continues to be an issue and it shows up in the first preseason game, don't be surprised if they bring somebody in to have a look. Mm. You know,
are you surprised that going into camp they didn't have someone compete with them, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, because typically, why would you want to have another camp leg? Because hey, look, if something were to happen, you know, you're all of a sudden your guy is not hitting him well and he's out in a funk, you know, and you've got to make a decision, you probably want to have somebody that you've had a look at.
Well, I think you do for two reasons. That's one, competition, which Jeff is talking about, you know, competition and another leg to look at. But I also just think of, let's say you have a great kicker, bring someone else in just for the volume of kicks, not to wear him out during the preseason.
Yeah, because there's some days where he doesn't kick at all.
So,
but hopefully he finds his groove because, I mean, he's
struggling. It's Struggle City right now.
He's been –
Struggle City.
So not just, oh, he's struggling.
His accuracy on field goals in the past has been very strong.
Well, I mean, it's a concern.
No doubt. I mean, I put it this way. You know, if we're noticing that the kicker is
– if we're talking about
and,
it.
You know, and not just about on the show, you know, we got provoked or it started from the call – but, I mean, we've talked about that on the field, and it's been something that we went, wow.
Okay.
You know, he's not in his groove.
No, it was a topic of conversation on Wednesday. Hmm. So maybe you weren't there. You might have been messing around.
I'm not sure you're paying attention. What are you talking about?
Hey, you know what we should do in the future, Thursday night shows?
I can't wait to hear this. What?
I just thought of this. You know, I'm an idea guy. Maybe Hollywood can help us out with this.
Did you find it on the internet?
No.
On your phone?
No, I think we should do a...
He's an idea guy.
We should be able to sell this too, so I hope the marketing office is listening to this as well. Why don't we get like the Twitter question of the day and invite our listeners and our viewers to tweet us different topics they'd like to talk about. And so obviously we have the phone lines, but, you know, there's social media now and...
This is the 21st century.
Give out your Twitter handle.
Yeah, you got a Twitter. Go ahead and throw it out there.
It's very simple. At Tony Baselli. But I'm saying idea to make money for the show. Let's sponsor it.
Mine is at JP Shadrick, and Logs is not active anymore. It's up there, but he doesn't look at it.
I don't.
So you have to join us, Logs.
So, well, or you can just ask me.
They can just text it to you guys.
What's wrong with Twitter? We've got to get to the root of this issue.
You're messing up my whole idea.
This is not a topic.
Feed
for
the tuna fish mayonnaise.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just tweet me and all. If you have a question for Jeff, ask me because he's not going to look at it. So. Yeah.
Well, that's easy enough.
Yeah. Thank you,
Jeff. Or me.
No, not you.
Why not?
Because you don't.
Do you have a question lined up and ready?
No, I don't right now. But
why don't we have this whole conversation?
Kamal.
I thought something.
He texted me. Shout out.
He texted you.
Or tweeted me. The guy from Chicago. Same thing. It's no different than it is. But my point is, Hollywood, I want you to get on it. I want you to sell the Twitter question of the day. And I'll let you call it the Tony Twitter question of the day if we can get a little side cash here.
It's a little side action.
There's Pete Prisco rubbing off on the subway there.
I have been doing the show with him too long.
It's good for me.
Speaking of that, Jaguars Monday debuts Monday in Foxborough.
Without Pete, though.
No Pete.
Where's he going to be?
I don't know. Somewhere else.
No, but he's not coming to Foxborough with us, and we're doing it out of the hotel. And so we are a little bit limited on technology. So
I'll sit in with you.
It'll be me, you, JP. We might have Frank come on and anyone else who's roaming the hallways.
We'll grab you. If you're wearing a Jag shirt, come on in.
Come on and join us.
Please. So that's Monday night, 6 o'clock.
But then the following week, we'll kick it off with Pete.
Yes, that's right. And I guess he'll be here, right?
Oh, he'll be here for the
Bucks
practices.
He's normally here for preseason.
Yeah. Well, he'll be here for the Bucks
practices. Yeah, he's here for the Bucks practices, but he's also here for all preseason. I don't think his obligations for CBS don't start until the regular season where he has to be down in Fort Lauderdale on Mondays.
Sweet. We're excited for that.
That's going to be fun. It's a fun show. Football's here. I mean, training camp and all that is fun, but we get on a plane on Sunday to go to another city. Yes, it's for a couple of practices first, but, I mean, first game.
Still football, right?
First game of the year, it's the preseason. I know after the first quarter, we'll be looking at each other and asking each other when's the preseason over.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it's a kickoff, too. We're closer to the regular season. And I always say as soon as the preseason starts, you know, Christmas is right around the corner because it goes so fast. I mean, you literally wake up and it's like, oh, Santa's here. And so get ready to hold on to your hats, and let's hope it's a lot of wins this year.
Colon switches for you, Tony.
Probably. Because I don't want to get angry on Monday nights either, JP.
Too late.
No, but I'm saying if we're winning.
No, Pete always dominates you on Monday nights.
He does not. That's not true.
Let's go to the phone lines. Logs thinks so, too.
You're doing your TV show when we're on.
I'll catch you guys a little bit on the way there. Pete holds his own now.
Oh, he holds his own. Pete's a pro. I mean. He gives a good fight for about 7 rounds, then I knock him out weekly in the 8th.
Really?
In your mind.
Sometimes
when the pro football focus grades come in, he dominates.
He does. That just drives me nuts.
Let's go to the phone lines.
We need to get rid of that segment this year.
I don't think so. I think we might expand it, in fact. Let's go last call tonight. We'll go down to Bay Meadows. Mimi is on the line. Good evening.
Hi, guys. Great show, as always. And I'm calling to ask each one of your opinion as to how you think Paul Posluszny is doing this year at his new position, and I'll take it off the air.
Appreciate the call. Thank you.
It's a great question, Mimi, and it's something that that we talked a little bit about, Tony, the other day.
Yep.
And first of all, Paul is a pro, and you can put Paul at any linebacking position, and he's going to be a pro, and he's going to play it well.
And never complain.
But is he gonna be able to thrive, I think is what your question is. Is he going to be able to have, you know, the success like he's had at the Mike position and at the Sam position? You know, I don't know. And the only way, and it's hard to evaluate linebackers, just like it's hard to evaluate Miles Jack in practice, unless you're able to fully understand what his responsibility is, where his fits are.
Well,
in
you
got
to watch the tape. You got to
and
watch
where
the
he,
tape.
You know, his drops and coverage responsibilities are. And the only way that you can get that, and you don't get a complete accurate picture unless you know the responsibility, is by watching the coach's tape. So, first of all, to answer your question, I think he's doing good. But, you know, let's see some preseason games and have some film to really evaluate how he's doing there. And then we'll have a better idea. But I don't worry about Paul Posluszny. The one thing, question that I have, and it's a legitimate question, will this team be better off with him at the Sam as opposed to having kept him at the Mike and allowed Miles Jack to play the Sam position, because the Sam position, they're doing more stack position work out with the Sam anyway.
Explain what stack position means, Jeff,
please.
And in defense, when you talk about Sam, or in years past here, it's been called the Otto.
Same position.
Outside linebacker. That player typically would line up on the line of scrimmage over the tight end.
Even with the defensive line, yes, on
yes.
the line of scrimmage.
And he might have a, you know, five technique defensive end next to him. What the,
it's called the 4-3 under.
Yeah, and what the Jaguars are doing essentially is they're kicking the end out to a wider position, and it allows all three linebackers to be removed from the line of scrimmage, you know, 4 yards deep or 3.5 yards deep, wherever they're going to be at, and allows them to play more all like middle linebackers, because it's read and flow, and it's downhill. So the
that would be called in most 4-3 stack under. Or under stack. So now they're stacking that guy. They're still mm-hmm. in an under front, which we're not going to do that, and that backer's off the ball now.
So with the change of allowing the Sam to play off the line of scrimmage in a stacked position more, it would suit Paul better because he's used to being stacked. Well, my argument was, well, if it's helping Paul in a stacked position, why wouldn't it have helped Miles Jack,
why don't you
too.
Just say what you and I have both said
well,
from the beginning?
That's what I'm saying. That, you know,
just get to the cut to the chase.
So will it be better this year? I don't know. But I know
but
one
that's
thing.
That's not the question.
The question was, how's Paul doing?
I understand that, but answer the question how you and I talk about what should have happened.
Me and Tony both felt
should have happened.
That Paul should have stayed at Mike and allowed Miles Jack to play the Sam, which is stacked more.
On first and second
And then
down.
When you get to third down, get the speed of Miles Jack on the field and pair him with Telvin Smith.
That's right.
Because, I mean, look, if you evaluated Paul Posluszny on first and second down, his
really
ability
good.
To play in at the Mike linebacking position, he's a monster.
I will say this. I would be really pleasantly surprised if after 8 games we watch all the tape and Jeff and I come back, after every game we watch it, and we were to say that Miles Jack played the run on first and second down as well as Paul Posluszny did last year. Because if he's playing that well,
yeah.
If he's even close,
oh my,
it's great. Yeah. Which goes back to my whole belief and Jeff's, is I didn't understand, and maybe there's a reason, we don't know defensive schematics-wise, and I trust Todd Walsh and his staff. They're very good coaches. But I always thought, why not just keep Paul there in first and second down? Give the helmet receiver to Telvin because he'll be the every down back. Put Miles Jack at the Sam on first and second down. On third down, Paul hops out. Miles goes to the mic, and now you have your speed on third down. I just didn't understand why that wouldn't be the next step or iteration as we evolve to Paul Posluszny getting older and one day retiring. And obviously being Miles Jack's defense from the middle linebacker position.
But let's add this. We'll see.
Yeah, we could be dead wrong, yeah, right? Yeah.
We've been wrong before.
Oh, my. Not very often, but every once in a while.
yeah.
Okay.
Not very often.
Yeah.
We've been wrong enough.
When we come back, first segment of the year, we don't have it sold yet. We'll work on that.
This is the pilot.
Twitter questions of the day.
Wow.
Impressive.
We can't wait.
Is it a good question?
I got 2.
We'll find two. Now.
We'll talk about it during the break. Which one
of the day
or
questions?
We only get one. No, only one.
Yeah,
it's
you
only
pick one. But yeah, it's just one.
Singular. Check out Jack Hannity's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. We'll get the Twitter question of the day, the pilot episode with Tony Vaselli, and we'll read other people's headlines from around the National Football League when we return. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Three, count them. One, two, three more training camp dates are open to the public this summer. That's it, including tomorrow night's family night. And then the two workouts against the Buccaneers, week two of the preseason. To attend, register at jaguars.com/training camp. For tomorrow night, jaguars.com/family night for free admission. Gates open at 5:15. 6 o'clock, the practice begins for the Jaguars at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, and Tony Vaselli's chomping at the bit to get
Pilot.
To his Twitter question of the night.
Twitter question of the night. We're going to make a little change. Hollywood doesn't like my idea completely. We're going to, in the future, you can tweet to @Jaguars, the Jaguars official Twitter page, and put #JagsThursday for the Twitter question of the day, which will be soon sponsored.
We got a couple candidates.
So we have a couple candidates. Yeah. We got three.
Three? On the pilot episode.
Yeah, we've narrowed it down to two. One from Lawrence, Bullseye 5490 asks, please compare and contrast Fournette to Eddie George. And then Samuel, @Samuel_of_Duval, asks a very important question as well. Can we get some better-looking Jaguars reporters? So I'll let Jeff decide which question we go with.
Yeah, Jeff.
Who? I kind of like the reporter's question.
All right. Take your first stab at it.
I will say John Osier is an ugly, ugly man.
Oh, you're, well, I mean, we're attractive. Talking about, you're attractive.
Just throwing it out there quick.
Well, if we're talking about Jaguars.com, there's no question there's some serious lack of looks.
I mean, this
John Osier, J.P. Shadrick, Brian Sexton.
I think you and I look pretty good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We upgraded.
We're upgrade.
Yeah, we upgraded.
Ashlyn's here now. Ashlyn Sullivan.
Max brings... Well,
yeah, she's not on enough.
You know,
she's
Max
new.
Kind
we
of
can't,
brings
we can't
her
talk
down.
About
yeah,
it.
She's new. Max brings her down. I would say that the Jaguars reporters are a solid C-plus because of Jeff and I bringing it up from an F.
Well, you're never here, Tony, first
why
of all.
Why we cannot so now, get better-looking ones, I'm not sure.
If the question were to fall on... the Jaguars press like is in media.
Frangie.
Halloran.
Oh,
Brian O'Halloran.
I'm a blue.
DeRocco.
D-Rock.
He's like I don't think there's one attractive
Gene Fournette. who
did
else?
He say he's 5'1"?
Yeah, 5'1".
That's mean-spirited.
On a good day.
Who else we got in the press corps?
There's not, it's not very good.
Yeah, we're running out quick.
I mean, and
Prosser.
Spanned it to team. Well, Prosser's never around.
Yeah, but
Hickens around.
Hickens.
And Hickens a good looking man.
Martineau's
a good looking man.
Yeah,
I mean they're okay for you know for guys.
It's not great. I'm not comfortable at this point of talking about the looks of other.
You know,
guys,
I can
you
tell
brought
you
it up.
Ever since
no,
ever
was
it,
the
that was his choice.
Ever since Vito left, it definitely has gone downhill.
We miss Vito, man.
Love Vito.
And the football question, real quick, is the easy that
Eddie George and Leonard. Fournette.
Listen, Leonard Fournette's faster, more powerful.
Eddie was a big dude.
More
though.
Explosive. Eddie was a downhill, very good back. Take another whim. I just think Leonard has more big playability.
Yes. He got more speed.
Eddie George is
a
great
more
player.
Pop.
Great player.
And the top end speed, I think, is the big difference when you're talking about Eddie George. I mean, Eddie George was, you know, a kind of a power big back.
He'd pound you now, though.
Yeah, he could pound you. But he'd carry defenders and everything. But, you know, from watching Fournette and college tape is all we have to go off of because that's the only game tape we got. But from watching him, I mean, when he gets a hole, he can go the distance. Whereas when Eddie got a hole, you hope that he could get some distance, but he wasn't going to take it to the house.
Get some distance, run over a guy, and then the cavalry would come and take
that's
him
right.
down.
Right?
And Eddie's a great guy. And but he's got the smallest head of any man his size, maybe.
Let's review this first insult? Twitter question of the day.
Is this the insult segment of the
no.
show?
D-Rock is 5'1", and Eddie George has a small
he'd be
head.
The first one to tell you.
That was, and none of those mean comments came from me, shockingly enough. It's amazing.
I know. You're out of character today.
You're out of character. So that was the first Twitter question of the day.
Company, we got to go around the league?
Whatever company listening, please put your logo on it, and we will – we'll brand it.
It is for sale.
It's
yes.
for sale.
It is for at Jaguars, hashtag Jags Thursday.
You can still do it at Tony Bissell if you want to.
Or at JP Shadrick, but not at Logs 56 because no. he's not looking at it.
But well, the official one will be taken.
I have one, but I don't, it might be a while before I check it.
Yeah, don't do that. But go don't ahead. Send the logs.
Around the league.
Go right ahead. Around the National Football League. A lot of injuries around the National Football League, including Ryan Tannehill, who came off the field in Miami with a knee injury. Non-contact. Didn't look good from the video, but no structural damage after the MRI.
Well,
that's
I mean,
news.
That's what they're saying. But the reality is that he's been wearing a brace on that knee because he partially tore his ACL to begin with, which means, you know, and I was shocked when they never decided to repair the ACL.
He went with stem cell.
Because
did he?
The ACL wow. does not heal on its own like other ligaments in the knee. The PCL will, the MCL will.
There is an update now. Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald saying that Tannehill's MRI is inconclusive and all options are on the table.
Yeah,
that's the latest update.
It's not good.
He's had an ACL there, and it was partially torn. Yeah. It's an issue, and it always will be with him. And like I said, I'm surprised he didn't have it fixed long ago.
Yeah. Do you know the other injury? I don't know if you're going to get this one, but a guy that Jeff and I both loved coming out was Forrest Lamp.
ACL.
He tore his ACL, was penciled in, I think, as the right guard, starting
Did
right
Did you
guard
hear the comments him. About him prior to injury?
He was doing great.
The real deal.
Yeah. They loved him.
It's been rough for the Chargers.
They also like
Mike Williams, right? The receiver from Clemson. Yeah. Back. I mean, he might miss the year. And Forrest Lamp now out
first
for the year
picks.
For sure.
That's tough.
It's not a way to start a new coaching job.
No.
No.
If you're Anthony Lynn.
And they're saying the Forrest Lamp injury was non-contact. He was pulling as he planted. That's
Which,
when he tore.
That happened. I mean, was yours non-contact?
Non-contact.
Yeah, yours was non-contact. Mine was I tried to leg whip Neil O'Donnell.
That was a bad decision. yeah. But when he planted.
Wrapped my leg around him.
When he planted.
At the knee. Bent at the knee.
He didn't go down, did he?
Huh?
Did he go down?
Yeah. Yeah, it was my first sack of the year, game two, in Pittsburgh. Got a sack, tore the ACL, and that was it. Done.
One sack year?
Yep.
But he was turning up to block the linebacker, and he plants towards ACL, and then on top of it gets planted by the linebacker, because obviously once you tear your ACL,
you're done.
You got it's over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of medical issues, sideline tents will be on every NFL sideline this year to keep fans and TV cameras from seeing the medical exams after injuries.
You can thank Alabama for that one, boys.
That's right. The tents will only be raised while evaluation is going on and lowered when there's no player in there. Yeah, it's been in college a couple of years, SEC predominantly.
Didn't Alabama start that,
Alabama
JP?
Alabama was one of the first ones to have one, and then all the SEC schools said, you know, we want to hide our guys in here too. We don't want them to see what's going on. So now the league will have them.
It makes our job harder because from a radio booth, and to make – Rick Ballew even more important for us on the sideline because you and I could tell kind of what was going on, what body part they'd be working on from the booth. With that out of the picture, you know.
Be kind of in the dark.
We're in the dark, and Rick Ballew's going to have to sneak in that tank and kind of give us some information.
I wonder if they're going to put porta-potties in those things. You know, if a guy needs to use bathroom, you know,
no.
pop
I mean,
the tent
not
up.
Like no, just, tent. It's not like a huge tent. It's not like a –
I don't know.
We're not having a buffet
a porta-potty?
Or
I mean, so where do you put the porta-potty when the tent's not
5-gallon bucket with a little round seat around.
It's not a porta-potty.
Yeah, it is. Could
or,
be.
Or you can just go –
They actually
we're
sell
not,
those.
We're not going hunting.
Why don't you just go in the grass?
Well, I mean –
There's 80,000 people looking at
no,
you.
No, yeah. in the tent. Well,
you're
in the grass.
That's where you got a tent for, JP.
Just go inside. The locker room's like 10 feet
yeah,
away.
Yeah, but if you miss some snaps.
In 96, we were playing the I was super sick, so I had like 8 IVs before the game in the playoffs against the Broncos, which if you take that much fluid,
yeah.
you have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
So I was on the sideline, and I had to go to the bathroom so bad that they put towels around me, and I'd pee on the sideline because – It's a playoff game. You can't
go
in.
No, yeah, you
see, that's
stay.
My point. See, yeah. JP,
the
I mean.
The tent would have been nice right
now. You got to go. You got to go.
Bucket porta potty.
Nature calls. You better answer the
Some
door.
Guys just pee their pants. I know guys.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of guys just piss themselves.
There's been some guys that poop their pants, too.
Well, I mean, that'll keep the defenders away from you.
It's true. Hall of Fame game tonight. Cowboys, Cardinals in Canton, Ohio. Brand new stadium. Who you got?
I don't have anybody.
I'm
nobody.
I'm taking. Where's it at?
Canton, Ohio.
It's the Hall of Fame game.
Hall of Fame game, bud.
It's a Friday night. It used to be on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they moved it because
Well, today's Thursday. It's tonight.
I'm sorry. It was Thursday. It used to be on Sunday. They had the stuff on Saturday, but they messed the field up last year, and they had to cancel the game because of the messed up field.
I'm taking the Cardinals.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Cardinals. Everybody. Jeff Loggeman, Tony Maselli, Hollywood Max Hochman, Ashlyn Sullivan, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening and watching Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.